This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Doe Banks Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
Joining me in the studio is Professor David Neufeld from Johns Hopkins University. Hello, and thank you for joining us on the JODcast.
Hello, nice to be here.
And you've just given a really interesting talk on probing molecular clouds with observations of interstellar hydrides using Herschel and SOFIA. So to sort of start everything off, what sort of molecular clouds are you looking at? Because there's quite a variety.
Yeah, so these clouds that pervade our galaxy in between the stars, and the ones that I've been looking at are sort of partly atoms and partly molecules. As the clouds get thicker, they have more and more molecules, and the thinner clouds are mainly atomic.
Okay, so you're looking at a variety of different clouds.
Yes, but mainly ones that are sort of halfway between being atomic and molecular.
Okay, cool. And you're looking at interstellar hydride. So what's a hydride?
So a hydride is a molecule containing one heavy element. So I mean an element heavier than hydrogen, like fluorine or oxygen or carbon, and then one or more hydrogen atoms. So these are small molecules, and they're very light.
Okay, and has there been a lot of observations of these hydrides before? Is this an ongoing project?
It's quite hard to observe these molecules because the frequencies that we need to observe them at don't typically get through Earth's atmosphere. So part of the reason for that is that our atmosphere has a lot of water vapor, which is just the type of molecule that would absorb radiation at these frequencies. And so the field has really expanded a lot in the last few years thanks to observations either from satellite observatories like Herschel or from airborne observatories like SOFIA.
So you say SOFIA is an airborne observatory. How does that work? Because when you travel in an aeroplane, you're moving. It must be very difficult to track and turbulence and everything. How does that happen as an observatory?
Well, actually, that's not a big issue, the particular issue of turbulence, because the telescope, which flies in a 747 aircraft that is operated by NASA and the German space agency DLR, The telescope is perfectly balanced on a frictionless bearing. So, in fact, as the aircraft encounters turbulence, the telescope remains rock steady and can point directly at an object without wavering.
So, these hydrides, are you looking for sort of emission lines, or are you looking at things in absorption? How are you actually going about detecting them?
So the main way we've been trying to detect them and find out what their concentration is through absorption line observations, where we have a background source of radiation at high frequency, and then the clouds of interstellar gas that we're interested in lie in front of those sources, and they absorb radiation at very specific frequencies that are really a unique signature of the molecule in question. We can also see the motions of the molecules towards or away from us showing up as Doppler shifts if we can measure these frequencies accurately enough.
Okay, so is it difficult to distinguish between any absorption that happens from, say, the material you're exactly looking at or something that is, say, further in the foreground or anything closer to the source, maybe?
Right. So one of the nice things is that our galaxy is differentially rotating, by which I mean that the inner parts are rotating more rapidly than the outer parts. So if you look along a particular sight line towards a particular source, the material at different distances from you will be moving at different speeds. And by means of the Doppler shift, we can distinguish clouds at various different distances towards our background source.
That's really handy, if nothing else, that you can distinguish like that. So for these hydrides, are there any in particular? Because you said it's sort of a hydrogen and a heavier element. Are you looking at a specific set, or are you looking at a whole range of them?
Well, we have been looking at a whole range of them with Herschel, which is the European Space Agency's large cornerstone mission that just finished its operations last month. And we've detected about 24 different molecules, each of which has an interesting story to tell. One that I've been particularly interested in myself is hydrogen fluoride, a molecule consisting of one hydrogen atom and one fluorine atom. And the reason is that we believe that it will be very good at indicating how much hydrogen, H2, there is along the sight line that we're observing, because the chemistry leading to the formation of hydrogen fluoride is very simple. And we can be confident, therefore, that most of the fluorine atoms in these interstellar gas clouds will actually be bound up as hydrogen fluoride molecules.
So how from that will you actually be able to sort of derive the abundance of hydrogen? How will you be able to derive
right.
that?
So we could do that either just from our theoretical knowledge of the chemical reactions that are likely important that tell us that there's a certain amount of fluorine and that it should all be in the form of hydrogen fluoride. But we can actually test this observationally, looking at a very few sources which have the right properties for us to be able to observe hydrogen and hydrogen fluoride, in other words, H2 and HF, along or in the same gas. And that allows us basically to work out the concentration of hydrogen fluoride.
Okay, that's really good that you have those sources where you can compare the two.
Right. So that's been something that we've been doing in the last year or so.
And has that been using Herschel as well?
No, so that we could actually do from the ground with a very large telescope, which is operated by the European Space Agency in Chile. It was actually possible from the ground using the European Space Agency's very large telescope, VLT, in Chile. It's a very difficult observation because Earth's atmosphere is absorbing radiation at those wavelengths. But if we can get just the right Doppler shift between the astronomical source and our own atmosphere, then we can make an observation.
So it shifts it sort of into a window where we can actually observe from the ground.
Right, but we have to choose when we observe very carefully.
Okay. So you've talked about hydrogen fluoride, and in your talk you mentioned a couple of other hydrides. So do you want to tell us a little bit about some
Yes, of those? So one of them that we observe from an airplane observatory, SOFIA, is the mercapto radical, SH. So that's one sulfur atom and one hydrogen atom bound in a diatomic molecule. It has this funny name because organic molecules containing the SH functional group bind very strongly to mercury. So therefore, mercapto is the name given to this molecule. And it's not a molecule that we would expect to see really any of if the interstellar gas clouds were composed entirely of gas at the typical temperature, which is only about 80 Kelvin, 80 degrees above absolute zero. So the presence of mercapto radicals indicates that at least some small fraction of the gas must be at higher temperature. In fact, must be more like 1,000 Kelvin. This is something that's been hinted at by a number of previous observations, but these kind of observations provide additional evidence for it and actually help us refine our understanding of why parts of these gas clouds are much hotter than the average temperature.
Okay, one of the things that you actually said in your talk as well is that this mercapto was previously absent from sort of interstellar molecules. Why would that be? Is it just that the transitions hadn't been observed?
Right, so it had been impossible to observe the transitions. With the Herschel Space Observatory, there were a number of different frequency receivers operating in different wave bands, but there was a gap between about 1,250 and 1,440 gigahertz. And it's just in that gap that the mercapto radical has its transition. And so it had not been possible to observe this one with Herschel. It was sort of a notable omission from what we'd been able to accomplish with Herschel. And now with SOFIA, we were able to sort of fill in this missing piece of the puzzle.
Oh, brilliant. So what are your future plans for this research? Are there other radicals and other hydrides that you're going to be looking at, or just further study on the ones that you've been looking at already?
Well, we have a lot of additional Herschel data that still needs to be analysed. And what we're planning to do is expand the set of molecules that we've been observing and also see how things vary with different locations in the galaxy and sort of make a map of the galaxy where we can show how, for example, the density of cosmic rays, which are these very energetic particles, how the density of cosmic rays may vary from one location in the galaxy to another. And we'll do that using observations of molecules along many different sight lines to many different sources.
Okay, so you have been looking at along various sight lines, and have you seen anything so far, a trend anywhere?
Yeah, so that's a good question, and it's very much up in the air still. So we really have not completed the analysis and aren't able to say yet. But it's a very interesting question, which might point, in the case of the cosmic rays, to what their origin is. If we see higher concentrations of the molecules whose production relies on cosmic rays, let's say near places where supernovae have exploded in the past, that might suggest that supernovae are an important source of cosmic rays.
Okay. So thank you very much for telling us all about your research, and wish you good luck in all the further data processing.
Thank you. You're welcome. Zone.